I tell you what, I'm excited to be here. You know, after being a couple weeks, you know, out of the pulpit, it just is so refreshing to get back. And a couple things that we need to do before, you know, we get started is clear the air with a certain pastor in the Mayville area. If you were here last week, which I heard that there was a certain advertisement given to attend that church, and of course I got the ridiculous selfie. I knew that was coming. I told him I knew that was coming. That is so perfect, Pastor Jeff. And here's the thing, is that he's not even here tonight to defend himself. You know what I mean? To show up and have the courage to take responsibility for his actions. What perfect timing to take a camping trip. He's camping tonight. And of course, if you are a member of the Mayville Church, well, we love you. Your pastor's great. Praise the Lord. But yeah, we just had to clear the air there a little bit. He's, you know, camping. He's probably in a hotel somewhere sitting next to the pool watching us on live stream. If he is, well, we're coming after him, right? Praise the Lord. You ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yeah. Turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to call this message tonight, The Nature of the Blessing. You know, I'll tell you what, a lot of God's people don't even know how blessed they are. And I'll tell you, we're going to get into some things tonight that so often believers have forgotten, and the devil eats their lunch. You know what I mean by that? Takes advantage of them because of what they don't know. How many of you know the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? It's what they don't know that hurts them. You know, you can be thoroughly born again. You can be thoroughly heaven bound. But I'll tell you what, if you don't know what the Word of God says, you can get beat up and destroyed in this life down here. Just because you're born again doesn't mean that you automatically walk in the victory that God has for you. I'll tell you what, you're going to need to know some things while you're here, and we're going to talk about some crucial things tonight, you know, that you cannot forget. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to a familiar passage. You know, I don't think you can get enough of this verse. I don't think you can hear this verse enough, Galatians 3:13 and 14. Of course, lately I've been constantly preaching about how the Christian is exceptional. You know, I believe we're different. You know, I know we've had a lot of people in our community say that about us, but what I mean is that every born-again believer, you know, is different by the virtue of the power of the living God on the inside. We are not under the same spiritual atmosphere of the world. Amen. There's something different about every believer, you know, about being a believer in Christ. You know, I'll tell you what, we were redeemed from something. We were taken out of something dark. We were brought into the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we're not under the same curse that the world is under. We've been brought up and over it. Hallelujah. You know, and we need to know who we are. And, of course, lately I've been teaching on what it means to be born again and how it's a new nature. And it's the reason that Jesus gave why miracles happen, why there is a change and an effect around everyone who's truly born again. Right? And of course, we don't promote that as, that's not a family church idea, that's a Bible idea, right? Anyone that's born again, regardless of what church they go to, I'll tell you what, there should be a change around them. Jesus said, you know, just as you notice where the wind blows and you can't tell where it comes from or whatever, he said, so it is as people that are born of the Spirit, right? And we talked about the fact that you can't see the wind, you only see the effects, all right? You know, just because you see a flag moving, that doesn't, you know, mean you see the wind. You're seeing the effect of that wind on the flag, or the leaves rustling, or the waves on the water, or whatever it is. In the Bible, you know, Jesus is likening a born-again Christian to a powerful wind, right? Meaning wherever it goes, it produces an effect. Everything around it changes. Amen. So should it be for us. Hey, let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Here's what you need to know in life if you're a born-again believer. It says, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Notice this isn't something that's going to happen. Notice this is something that has already happened. Yes. This is a past tense fact in the mind of God. Amen. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, this is a fact in the mind of God. It might not be a fact in your mind yet, but it's already settled in heaven forever. Amen. That you're redeemed from the curse of the law. And tonight I'm not going to be teaching necessarily about the curse of the law, but if you ever want to know what you're redeemed from, go read Deuteronomy chapter 28, all right? Read verses 15 on through the end of the chapter and read all the curses that were prescribed to those that did not follow the law of Moses or the Old Testament. It says all these curses would come upon them. It affected their spiritual nature, right? Sin. It affected their physical health, sickness and disease. It affected their mind with depression and anxiety, right? It affected their finances with poverty and lack. So we see in Deuteronomy 28, it tells us what the curses of the law are, and they are sin, their sickness and disease, their poverty and lack, right? And anxiety and depression. Now, if you're here and you're going through something like that, do not misunderstand my words. Don't think that I am saying that people that face those trials are evil people or that they are cursed people. No, what is going on is if we don't know what the Word of God says, the devil will knock on our door in life and we won't know how to answer him. Right? And this is how we answer him. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Because curse-like living can show up on anybody's door. But not anybody, not everybody knows how to answer. And this is how you answer. The Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He took our place. He bore that curse. Right? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree or the cross like he did. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, this is why he did that. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Everyone say, that's me.
That's me.
That's right. That's me. That's you. That the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? And we're going to talk about the blessing of Abraham a little bit. Because so many believers, you know, they forget what they are and who they are in Christ. You know, we don't want to do that. There's two things in these scriptures that the devil wants us to constantly forget. Number one, we're redeemed from the curse. We're redeemed from the curse. Praise the Lord. The curse was already dealt with. It was already placed upon Jesus. It was already paid for. It was already defeated. It is all spent. It is used up. It is gone. It is dried up. It is dealt with. It is 2,000 years removed from believers. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. That curse was spent 2,000 years ago. The devil, you know, had it snatched away from him, right? And he no longer has that power to try to curse God's people. Hallelujah. Remember, even the Old Testament says you can't curse that which God has blessed. Why did Christ become a curse? That the blessing of Abraham. You can't curse what God has blessed. That's us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, meaning that it's already dealt with, defeated, paid for, cast down forever. You know, it's like a coupon at the store. You know, let's say you're going to buy something for $20, but you have a coupon for $1 off. You know, you go in the line, once they scan that coupon, that thing's done.
Yeah.
It is spent. It is redeemed, right? Yep. You can't just, you know, they don't just scan it and hand it back to you and you look at it and hand it back to them.
No.
Oh, $20, $19, $18, yeah. $17. You can't keep reusing it. Once it is done. And the same thing is true with the curse that the devil tried to put on us. Amen. It is already dealt with. We are redeemed. That thing is paid for. He has no right.
That's right.
He has no legal right to bring the curse of the law upon us as believers anymore.
Right.
But do you know your legal rights in Christ?
Amen.
You know, isn't it just true in this natural world, if you don't know your legal rights, you can go without some things, right? Do you know that it is your legal right to go 10 miles per hour over the speed limit? And you get, oh, wait, oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. You know, I have to correct myself. That's not correct. That's your moral right. I'm kidding. 9. Yes, 9. You know, 9, you're fine. 10, you're mine. Yeah. Right. Just making sure you're awake here tonight. But no, if you don't know your legal rights, you can be exploited and taken advantage of legally, correct? Right? I mean, what if you had a job and there was benefits, but you never knew what the benefit package of that job was? Then you would go without. You would never get to experience the benefits of it, right? In the same way, a lot of believers, they don't realize that they have been handed literally a spiritual lottery ticket. It's a winner, right? Jesus won for us. Glory to God. And you're redeemed from the curse. And now Satan has no legal right. Just like somebody, I don't have legal right to come over and just start walking through your yard. You know what I mean? For those of you that hunt here, we have a lot of hunters in the church or whatever, you know that hunting season's coming, and you know you just can't go onto any property you want and hunt it, no matter how big an animal over there is, how much you want to hunt it. If there's a no trespassing sign or a posted sign, that is their legal right for that owner to say, keep off.
That's right.
Yeah, in the same way, you have a legal right to put a posted sign around your life with the devil and say, you have no legal right to trespass anymore. Right? Your body is called, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it is called the temple of the Holy Ghost. Symptoms in sickness and disease is trespassing upon God's temple.
That's right.
That's why we have the legal right to say, Satan, you don't go any further.
Right.
I'm redeemed from the curse. You know, some people, you know, again, I want to just reiterate this, that some people think that, you know, that we're preaching that people that get symptoms on their body or go through a trial or sickness and disease, that they're bad people. No, we've all been there. We've all been attacked in some way or another. We're just learning what God has provided for us. Remember over there, Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who what? Forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases, right? Wait, did I say that right? Did I misquote it? I think I said it right.
Yes.
Right? He forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases.
Right.
He says, forget not all of his benefits.
Right.
Forget not all of his benefits. Listen, when Jesus comes back, is every human being on this earth going to be saved and taken to heaven? No, unfortunately. But is it possible for every person on the earth to be saved and go to heaven? Yes. The reason why those won't be taken is because somewhere along the line, they failed to receive what God provided for them. You could say it this way, that they forgot that Jesus was not only a Savior, but he's also healer,
right?
Yeah, amen. In the same way, you know, we can't forget his benefits. In the Bible, that was Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, by the way. That's scripture I'm quoting. You understand that we're not here to change the Bible. Bible changes us. We quote what the scripture says. The scripture says, don't forget what he's provided for you. Don't forget that he not only does he heal your or forgive your sins, but he wants to heal your disease as well. You know, and maybe you grew up in a church or a church background that didn't preach that or teach that. Well, what happened there? Well, they forgot. They forgot to teach the full benefit package of the Word of God. I'm here to tell you the full gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you don't have to be trapped in your sin anymore. You don't have to be trapped in depression and anxiety anymore. You don't have to be defeated by sickness and disease anymore. You don't have to have your life cut short. You don't have to live a depressing, miserable life. He says that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10, he said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Why? Because he's redeemed us from the curse. That's the difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. They're still under the curse. We are not under the curse anymore. Come on now. We're redeemed. And Satan cannot trespass anymore. He is not permitted, and he can't keep spending that coupon. It's already spent. It is gone. It is 2,000 years past the expiration date. That's right. You know that curse expired on us.
Yes.
It was on the resurrection day.
That's right.
His curse expired. No, it doesn't belong to us.
That's right. Amen.
The curse of the law, because he bore the curse for us.
That's right. Yes.
He was made the living Son of God, the most precious human being that ever took human form,
yes,
right? The most precious individual became a curse. Yes. He didn't deserve it. He was nothing but life.
Right.
He was the light of men, but he became a curse when we were nothing but darkness, so that we could trade places. He bore all that darkness so that we could have his light. Amen. Because it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's a reference to the cross. Now, verse 14, that the blessing.
Yes.
He bore the curse not just for you to go to heaven. Now, aren't you glad you're going to heaven someday?
Yeah.
Yep. It sure does beat the alternative. We know that. But how many of you know that Jesus became a curse not to just send you to heaven someday? He bore the curse so that you would have the blessing of Abraham. That we would be literally, do you understand what the born-again Christian is? We're literally a recreation of the greatest man of the Old Testament plus God on the inside.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? That we would have the blessing of Abraham would come on us through Jesus Christ, that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here's the second thing that the devil wants us to forget, that we're under the blessing. Listen, it's not enough just to know that you're redeemed from the curse. Now you have to go all the way to the other side and say, I'm under the blessing. I am under the blessing. And tonight you're going to see just the nature of that blessing, of what you're under. Now, here's the warning of this message. Do not leave here and think, okay, I'll never be tried or tested ever again. No, don't misunderstand. Don't be one of those, you know, immature Christians that hear a message like this, they walk out, they get tested. No, this is how you handle the test. This is the answer that passes the test. I'm redeemed from the curse, and I'm under the blessing. Oh, and we're going to just see exactly what that blessing is. It's on us now. It's part of us. It's who we are, right? In the mind of God, I can't change that any more than I can change my skin color.
Yeah, that's right.
Or my eye color. Do you realize that you having the blessing of Abraham is just as much a part of you as your skin color or your eye color, right, is a part of your natural self?
Sure, that's right.
You can't change it. Right? Well, unfortunately, a lot of believers, they don't know it or they forget that they're under the blessing. Yeah. Come on now. We're blessed.
Yes.
Come on. All right. So these are the things that we need to remember when we face life.
Oh, yeah.
This is what you need to know when the symptoms come knocking at your door. You need to remember, I'm not under the curse.
That's right.
I'm under the blessing.
Under the blessing.
I'm redeemed from the curse.
Yes.
I'm under the blessing. Imagine if God's people knew who they were.
Yeah.
Imagine, just like that song says, we would show the world heaven.
Yes.
We would show them heaven. And I don't mean that we would never go through hard times. As long as there's flesh on this earth and a devil to tempt it, there will be people that will do and say dumb things or test you, right? Or there's trials on this earth and so on. But imagine if God's people woke up to the idea and just confessed it right out of their mouth and said, I am redeemed from the curse. I am under the blessing of Abraham. Now, because I'm under the blessing, I have now some different expectations. I have some different expectations, and I have a different outlook on this life now. Right? My vision for the future, so to speak, has changed. I don't look at the world and say, that's my future. Nope, that is exactly what's not my future. Right? Amen. We are under the blessing. Now let's go take a look at it. Go back to you want to read what the blessing of Abraham is? Now, if the Bible says that you're under the blessing of Abraham, don't you think you better go find out what that is? You better find out, because if you don't know, you'll go without.
Sure.
Go to Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. We're going to look at the nature of this blessing that we're under.
Good.
I mean, I tell you, and I'm not just trying to put a little Christian swagger into your life. Though that wouldn't hurt. Especially some of you young men. Praise the Lord. But what I am here to do is put into you some knowledge of what God says you are. Because until you agree with God, you're not going any further.
Yeah, right.
Let me say that again because some of you missed it. Until you agree with God, you won't go any further. You have to agree. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that are not in agreement with God. They're not in agreement. You say, well, they're saved. They agree that Jesus died and rose again. Well, that's not all you are called to agree on. You know, you're going to have to agree that Jesus is your healer. You know, there's a lot of believers that have received him as Savior, but they never received him as healer. You know, they received him as Savior, but they didn't receive him as provider. You know, they received him as Savior, but they didn't receive him as protector. Right? We have to receive all the nature of our Lord. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read the first three verses, and we're going to dig into the nature of the blessing of Abraham. This is what you need to know. I love this. I love putting something in the minds of believers, in the hearts of believers. It'll change your life if you let it.
Oh, yeah.
It'll change your life if you take this message and start talking it,
yeah.
Start meditating on it, start saying as often as you think of it, I'm redeemed from the curse.
Yeah.
I'm under the blessing.
Amen.
I'm redeemed from the curse.
Yeah.
I'm under the blessing.
Yeah.
You know, we can sit here and I could preach some homily or something. You know, I could read some Christian poem that some guy wrote back in the Middle Ages or something, and we all might, you know, get a fuzzy feeling, and we might even tear up and all that, but then we walk out and still stay defeated. The devil still eat your lunch because a poem isn't going to keep him away. You got to get into the Word and understand who you are. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, Genesis 12, 1. Now, of course, you remember that Abraham, before he was Abraham, before God gave him that name, which means the father of nations, his name was Abram. All right, so you know who we're talking about, the same individual. And this is before he received his new name. And now it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And before I get into the nature of the blessing in the next two verses, I do want to stop because I do believe that verse 1 there talks a lot about God's people even today. You know what I mean? That notice it says that God says, I will show you a land, he says, get out of thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Giving us the idea that Abram was not in a place that God had led him, that he is in a place that he either chose for himself or it was the choosing of someone else. Now, I'm not going to take the time, but if you go up there in the last half a dozen, maybe less, four or five verses of chapter 11, you will read that Abram's father named Terah, or however you want to say it, that he led Abram into that place, okay? And so Abram was not in a place that God had shown him. He was in a place that someone else chose for him or he chose for himself. I believe a lot of people are in that place today. A lot of God's people are in a place that they have chose for themselves, right? Maybe they're going to church, you know what I mean? Maybe, you know, they're moral people, but they are not doing what God has for them in their life. Whether they have the job that they chose for themselves, you know what I mean? They have the church that they chose for themselves, you know what I mean? The relationships that they chose for themselves and not the ones that God chose for them. Oh, come on now. Yeah, they're in the wrong land. They're in the wrong spiritual atmosphere. Are you ready to do a little Bible study over here a little bit? I wasn't planning on going there, but I'm going to go there. Hold your place because we're definitely coming back. I know sometimes I tell you to hold your place, and then we don't go back. We are going back tonight. Go with me to Joshua, the book of Joshua. Now remember, I told you, and you can read up there just a few verses in Genesis chapter 11, that Abram's dad was named Terah, okay? And go over to Joshua chapter 24. Wasn't planning on going there. Joshua 24. And we're going to read a verse here, maybe two, three. Joshua chapter 24. Hallelujah. In Joshua, the leader of Israel, he took the place of Moses when Moses died. Joshua was a great war general. All right, he was the successor of Moses to lead Israel and defeat the enemies of Canaan and so on. And he gives us in this prophecy a little information about Abram and Abraham's father and what he was up to. In verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God." So now we know that this is the Holy Spirit, and everything we're getting here is right out of the heart of God. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers," or your ancestors, "dwell on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Go back to Genesis chapter 12. And now you'll understand, verse 1, why God told Abram to get out of your father's house. Because Abraham's father was not serving the true living God. You see that in the scripture now. And so you see in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house," who was serving a pagan false god. What was God saying? Listen, I can't bless you until you get out of the wrong spiritual climate. I can't bless you until you get into the right spiritual atmosphere. And here's what you need to do, Abram. You need to make the tough decisions. If I'm going to bless you, if you're going to follow me. Right? Now, I could take you to, you guys want to do another little, I wasn't planning on going there. Sometimes the teacher in me takes over, and I just like the studious part of the Bible. Hold your place there in Genesis 12 again. We are definitely coming back to it. Go to Acts chapter 7. Go to Acts chapter 7. Oh, boy. Praise the Lord. Now we get a little more truth about what Abram was going through. Oh, dear. Now I put myself on the spot. I got to know exactly the verse here, don't I? Yep. Go to Acts 7. We'll start right in verse 1. Remember, this is when Stephen, remember the Bible says that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, right? The first martyr of the New Testament. Remember, he was one of the seven chosen, you call them deacons. He was known as a deacon, and he was a man that performed miracles. And remember, he's about to be stoned to death, and this is his final speech or his sermon to the Pharisees. And then said in verse 1, "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And Stephen said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." Okay? Now, notice it says that God appeared to Abraham before he dwelt in Haran. All right? Remember that. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Okay? Now, go up there. Oh, dear, I'm getting teachy. I don't want to lose you. Hold on. Okay? Go up to Genesis 11:31. Now, remember, Stephen, which is now recorded scripture, says that God spoke to Abraham before he lived in Haran. Okay? Now, verse 31, it says, "Then Terah," remember, Terah, this father of Abram, who was not serving the true God, right, "took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son," okay, his grandson, and Abraham's nephew, "and Sarai," Abram's, Terah's daughter-in-law, "his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there." Now remember, Stephen told us that God had already been speaking to Abraham.
That's right.
Okay, now we read in verse 32, "And the days of Terah were 205, and Terah died in Haran." Now verse chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. This isn't the first time God spoke to Abraham. It was at least the second time. You see that in the Word? So you can see that God had been dealing. All right, now notice where Terah, he had started to go the direction of Canaan, which was the land that God was going to give Abraham. But he didn't get there. And he decided to park in Haran, and that was not where God had a plan.
Right?
Remember, and so God speaks to Abraham at least a second or third time and says, you have to get out and get to the land that I will show you. Listen, here's the question. How many times is God going to have to talk to you to get away from the wrong spiritual atmosphere, to get you away from those wrong associations, those wrong relationships? If Abraham would have parked and stayed with his dad, he himself would have died, and he would have never walked into the promise. So everything we're about to say here is completely dependent on your willingness to make the tough decisions.
Yes, good word.
In Haran was the comfort of Father's house. In Haran, where it was all Abram's friends, all the relationships. Well, guess what Haran was? Haran was a city that was the central capital for the sun god. The Egyptian sun god was worshipped there, probably who Abram's dad worshipped. And I love how God says, listen, if I'm going to bless you, you got to get out of the wrong environment. You got to get out of the wrong relationships. Listen, come on now. If you're going to walk in the blessing of Abraham, are you willing to make the tough decisions that maybe you might have to change your work?
Sure. Yeah.
You might have to change who your friends are.
Come on
now. Yeah. Are you willing to understand that if you're going to get out and walk in the blessing of Abraham, that it might call for some significant changes in your life?
Yes.
Amen. Right? You might have to get out of that land of addiction.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on now. Get out of that land of unemployment.
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And of course, we're not picking on you if you're, you know, what we're talking about there. You know, sometimes when people, they just don't want to put forth any effort in life. Listen, God blesses the work of your hands.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm telling you, all of this is completely contingent on, you know, how many times does God have to speak? I'm glad that Abram finally woke up and said, it's time to go. Because we know that God spoke at least twice to him. At least twice. Third time, four time, five times. Listen, if you keep allowing God to speak to you and you don't respond, there will come a time where your conscience will be seared and you will no longer hear the voice of God. You don't get an unlimited amount of opportunities to hear God's voice. Do you understand that? Once you spend them, they're gone, so to speak, until you're submissive. All right. So now in verse 12, see, wasn't that fun? Take a little academic walk around the Bible. See, that's what I naturally sometimes just enjoy. And sometimes it fits in the message. Now, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, who's serving a false god. Right? Get out of the wrong place. This is why I'm saying, this is why I believe so many believers are. They're in the country that they chose for themselves. They're not in the country that God chose for them. You know what I mean? They're in the place for choosing. Oh, they're not going to live in the blessing until they separate themselves from that environment. Listen, if you're here, I believe, you know, obviously this doesn't apply to everybody in this room. Probably many of you are in exactly the right environment. And if you're sitting there wondering, like, oh man, am I in the right place in my life? And, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking your heart that question. But listen, if you're not, you know it.
Yeah.
You know it. It won't take you 3 days to figure that out. You just ask yourself one question. Do I have the right godly kind of fellowship in my life? The right kind of godly fellowship, friendships in my life? The right relationships in my life? Your heart will tell you in about 3 seconds or less. Actually, it's less than a second, right? If you just ask yourself, you know, even after service or when you have your private time, Lord, am I in the land that I've chose for myself or the land that you'll show me? Do I have the right spiritual environment around me? Do I have the right friendships and relationships? You ask him. You will know.
Amen.
And if you're sitting there and you say, well, I don't really get anything, well, then you're probably safe. Because if you're off the plan of God, you will know it pretty quick if you're sincere. Oh, amen. All right. Let's not be in the land that we choose for ourselves. Remember what it says over there? Remember when Lot, Abraham's nephew, remember when he got in all of his trouble? Here he was, one of the richest men in the land. He had almost as much possessions as Abraham had.
That's right.
Remember? But then it says over there, it says that he chose for himself the plains and the well-watered plains. And remember, it says that he set up his shop over there by Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember, and from that day on, when he chose for himself, he lost all of his goods. He lost his wife, right? He lost his home. He lost all of his wealth and his money. He ended up living in a cave with his daughters, getting drunk and having children with his own daughters. That's how far his life had fallen. Why? You all trace it back. He chose for himself.
That's right.
Listen, when you start choosing for yourself, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble in a big hurry. A lot of times, I know a lot of Christians who their entire life is a result of choosing for themselves. So listen, we're about to talk about some real exciting stuff here. But none of it will apply if you're not one of those people that get down before God and totally submit. If we would keep reading Genesis chapter 12, one of the first things that Abram does is what? Build an altar at Bethel. He sets up an altar and seeks God. So if you're not going to be one of those people that say, Father, I submit. Father, I want with all of my heart your will be done in my life. If you're not going to be one of those people, then the rest of this won't apply to you. All right? But if you are one of those people, get your shouting clothes on. Because now we're going to look at the good stuff. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right. So we're in chapter 12, verse 1. He says, get out of your father's house. Get out of that wrong spiritual climate. Get out of those wrong relationships. Leave your kindred.
Right.
A lot of God's people have got the wrong kindred. And I'm not talking about disown your brothers, sisters, and your mom and dad. I'm talking about the relationships in your life that are counseling you in the wrong direction. All right. Now, verse 2. Now he says, if you'll do this, if you'll get out of that environment, why? Because God couldn't work there.
Yeah, he can't work there.
He wasn't going to be able to work in that house.
Right.
You don't notice that about the Lord? Even in the New Testament, we have Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
Notice he doesn't barge into anything.
Right.
He wasn't going to barge into Abram's life. He's like, listen, you're in a satanic stronghold. I'm not going to come in there. You know what I mean? And try to undo all their thinking. If I'm going to use you, I need to pull you out of those relationships, get you into an environment where I can work. See, that's our goal here at Family Church, simply to provide an environment where God can work. Amen. And sometimes it requires saying and doing things that are hard on our flesh and on our minds to do. Amen. I mean, I tell you what, I get so blessed. I talk to so many of you, other believers. I mean, when you look at their testimony, I mean, they have left jobs to serve God. They've walked out of relationships that were no good for them. They made those tough calls. And those are the ones that God's going to use the best and the most. All right, verse 2. Now let's get into the nature of the blessing. He says, now because I got you out of the wrong place and into the right place, the land that I'll show you, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. All right, we are part of that nation. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Do you understand that that is talking of you? That word nation means great number of peoples.
Yeah.
We are included in that word right there. We are part. Remember over there, 1 Peter 2:9, it says that Christians are a peculiar people, a holy nation. That's who we are. You know, this nation isn't one of political borders and boundaries. It's one that covers the entire earth. It's the nation of God, and we're in it. It's not just Israel. You understand that? I'm going to say something that could be very controversial, and I'm not saying it for that reason. It's just scriptural. You know, the greatest nation on earth today is not Israel. The greatest nation on this earth is the church.
Yeah. Good.
You understand that? The greatest political nation
sure.
on this earth is Israel.
Yes.
But that is not the first and foremost nation that God speaks of in the New Testament. We are called the church of Christ. All born-again believers on this globe are called the nation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes.
There is no nation greater than that.
Right.
All right? So that is the nation that it's talking about here. Also, obviously, Israel is included in that word. He says, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. Okay, here we go. We're going to start talking about the nature of this blessing. He says, I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hey, wait. Remember, we're redeemed from the curse. Why? That the blessing of Abraham would come on us.
That's right.
So now we're reading about what the blessing of Abraham is. He says, I will bless thee, I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you. Do you know that that is not just a reference to Jews? That is a reference to us. Do you realize the blessing that is in store? Do you realize that? Look around here. Look at all of these opportunities we have of giving and receiving.
Yes.
Listen, it ain't about just giving to the minister or giving to the local church. You understand?
Yeah.
Do you understand that you are a blessing, and those that are a blessing to you, God is going to bless?
Yes. Good.
What does that describe for the blessing that God has put on us, if that people that are just good to us, he'll bless them for it? Come on. Think about the opportunity that all your employers have.
Yeah, there you go.
Come on now. That verse isn't written to just the Jews of Israel. That is written to God's people.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, I feel like I need to show you a few verses here. How about we just use our technology? You ready to let your fingers do the walking up there? Can you bring up Galatians 3:7? Just take these down in case you're just wondering. Say, well, no, that's really for Abraham. That's not for us. Well, just so you know, I'll show you the New Testament then. I'll show you the New Testament. Galatians 3:7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith. Anyone in here of faith?
Yeah.
The same are the children of Abraham.
Yeah.
Verse 9. Can you go to Galatians 3:9? So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I don't know how much we can prove it more than that. Bring up Galatians 3:29, the end of the chapter there. New Testament, mind you. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You have inherited the promise and blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. So just so you know, I'm not stretching the scripture here. I'm not just trying to get my church excited. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Now go back to Genesis 12:2. So that's why I say you can look at these scriptures and see yourself in it.
That's right. Yes.
See, that's a problem with believers. They look at the scripture and they always see someone else. Start seeing yourself in the verses. Yeah. Yep, I can just see this. Yep. And Tim, I will make you a great nation. Tim, I will bless you. Tim, I will make your name great. Tim, you shall be a blessing. Tim, I will bless them that bless you. Tim, I will curse them that curse you. And Tim, and you shall all families of the earth be blessed. How about that?
Yeah.
How about you place your name in there? Because it belongs there.
That's right. Absolutely.
It belongs there.
Yes.
That's right. Amen. All right. Now let's go up to verse 2 and let's get specific here. Let's look at the nature of this thing. He says, I will make thee a great nation. Obviously, we're part of that. He says, I will bless thee. You say, well, that's a pretty general term. Well, let me make it specific for you. That term, bless thee, and I'm not trying to, I can't show off any, you know, knowledge of Hebrew. I don't speak Hebrew. I have the same books that you have on your shelf. I can look them up in a concordance and do study that way. So please, I'm not a big fan of people that try to quote. I'm not going to quote you the Strong's number. I'm not going to quote for you what the Hebrew word, barach, you know. I'm not going to try to say it with a Hebrew accent or anything like that to try to, you know, impress anybody. I just look this up, just like you can look it up in your Strong's dictionary. Do you understand, though, that the Bible, the Old Testament, was originally written in Hebrew? Hebrew is a much more developed language than the English language. We have one, you know, one word for certain words. They have five or a dozen. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so we get to study it. When he says, I will bless thee, it literally means to praise, to respect, and to salute. It means literally to have one's attention. Here is a part of the blessing of Abraham that we don't always appreciate, and we forget it sometimes, is that here's the first part of this blessing of Abraham. We have God's attention. We have God's attention, and we have more than his attention, we have his honor.
Yes. That's good.
No. Let that sink in. We have his attention to the point where he is that God, out of respect for those that are obedient, he salutes them out of honor. Say, you mean God wants to honor me? Yes, he absolutely wants to honor you. Now, I am not saying that God's going to worship you. He's not.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. But it does. It means to give an accolade or to adore, to respect, to salute, to have one's attention. See, this is what we have that the world doesn't. We have God's ear.
You're right.
We have God's ear.
Yes. Good, Pastor.
No. See, if you're sitting there saying, I don't understand the significance of it. Well, I'm going to elaborate. You have God's ear. And if you have God's ear, you are boundless. God hears,
that's
you
right.
can have it.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know the scripture that I'm about to quote, don't you?
Yeah.
1 John 5:14-15.
Yeah.
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's the key.
Yes.
It must be according to his will. When you pray, you better already know God's will.
Right.
You can find it right in here, okay? If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
That's right.
And understand, I'm quoting scripture here.
Yes.
Okay? And it goes on to say, and if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we ask and desire
right.
of him.
Yes, that's right.
If he hears us, we know that we have.
Yes.
You've heard me say it, you've heard Pastor Nancy and other ministers say it. The having is not when it shows up. The having is when God heard you.
That's right.
This is the first and greatest nature of the blessing of Abraham, that God hears us.
Yes.
He does not hear the sinner.
That's right. Good.
The only way God hears a sinner is if they come in a manner of repentance
yes.
and asking for salvation in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Only until then, right? You remember Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. See, we have his attention.
Yes.
He stands waiting for our command.
Yes.
Take a deep breath. Sacrilege. Did he just say that God is waiting for our command? He's waiting. When I say command, I'm not saying because we have authority over God. He's waiting for our instructions. We think we're waiting on God for something to happen. No, he says, my word shall not return to me void.
That's right.
Meaning it's already been sent down.
Yes.
He's waiting for it to come back. We're not waiting for God to do something more than he has. What else does he have to do? He already gave you Jesus. He already gave you the Holy Ghost. He gave you the Word of God. He gave you the fivefold ministry gifts. He gave you a local church. He gave you the corporate anointing. He gave you the blood of Jesus. He gave you the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
What else does he have to do? Right? The question is, are we going to return the Word? Now, hold your place again. I didn't plan on going half these places, but that's pretty much how it works every time. Go with me. Just, you know where I'm going, some of you. Go to Isaiah. Chapter 46. Maybe it's 45. It is 45. You ready? Are you ready? If you got a religious spirit about you, you're gonna cringe. Meaning, you know, if you have just a religious mindset where, oh, we, you know, so many, and I'm not trying to pick on any denomination or whatever, but so many different sections of Christianity, they have this idea, oh, I can't ask anything of God, I'm not worthy. You better throw that trash away in a hurry. Listen, you're right. You weren't worthy by yourself. But if you're born again, he's now put you under the blessing. You are worthy. He wants to bless you more than you can ask for it.
That's right.
He wants it more for you than you want it for you.
That's right. Good, Pastor. Amen.
Let me show you this stuff about commanding God's hand.
Yes.
Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord. I can't make it any plainer than that. Ask the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Got any sons in here? And daughters of God?
That's right.
And concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Let me put that in English. You command me.
That's right.
Here's the first part of the blessing of Abraham. God standing at attention.
That's right.
He's standing with a salute.
Yes.
He's ready to go. Will you have the boldness in the faith to command God's hand?
That's it.
He doesn't give that to the world.
Right.
He gives it to the children of Abraham.
That's right. Good.
Think about how this isn't taught hardly anywhere.
Oh,
you say to the average Christian, command the hand of God. No, I can't do that. That's sacrilege. No, that's the word. That's the Bible. I showed you the Bible. Concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands, command the hand of God. Oh, my goodness. What does that look like? Let me just tell you what it looks like. It looks like however you want it to look like. Let me explain. You know, whether it's at night or whatever, I confess things over my sons when they're in bed or whatever. I'll put my hand on top of one of my kids' head. I say, Father God, I command your hand upon this boy. I command your hand upon him. You can speak that over your finances. I command your hand upon them.
Yes.
Now you have to obey what God says about finances.
Yeah, sure.
Or else it's not going to work. You can obey, you know, you can command God's hand. Father, I command your hand around this home for protection. I command your hand upon my marriage. I command your hand upon my local church.
Yeah.
My hand is, Father, I command your hand. Yeah.
That's right.
Why? Because this is the blessing of Abraham that God hears you. See, you know, there's people that pray a lot more than we do. You know that, right?
Sure.
And we've talked about that. I mean, Hindu monks and, you know, some of these Eastern religions and things, I mean, they lock themselves up day and night. All they do is pray. But nothing ever happens for them.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens. Why? Because their covenant, they don't have a covenant with the true living God.
That's right.
And God doesn't hear that.
Right.
I know that's going to upset people that want to just believe that everybody is just a child of God. Well, no, that's not true. You know, the children of God are those that have called upon Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then once you enter into that Abrahamic covenant, God says, okay, now I hear.
Yes.
Now I hear. I'm at attention. I'm ready to honor you.
Yeah.
I'm here to honor your requests. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's what it says. He says, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, respect thee, salute thee, and have your attention. Yeah, you have my focus, God says. You have my honor.
Yes.
Say, well, God wants to honor me? Yeah. Can you bring up Psalm 91, verse 14? Let me just show you. Because I like to include a lot of verses because I know people, you know, they think, I don't just let people assume.
Right.
Say, oh, that was a stretch. Where do you get that one? Well, how about we study the scripture, get it from there. Because he set his love upon me. Who's that in here? Do you love him?
Amen.
Therefore will I deliver him. This is what God says he's going to do for you. Because
yes.
You love God. I will set him on high.
Yes.
Because he has known my name. See? God's saying, here I am. I'm at attention.
Yes.
Verse 15. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. See? There's the Abrahamic covenant again. God's listening.
That's right.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, we're talking about honoring God. Well, now he's talking about honoring us. Honoring us. This is the first nature of the blessing of Abraham. You got God's attention. You have his focus. You have his ear.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
He is saluting.
That's right. Yep.
Ready for the command of your mouth.
That's right. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Glory to God. That's right.
Isn't what Romans chapter 4 is about? Calling those things that be not as though they were.
Exactly. Sure, exactly.
Do you remember how it says that in Romans chapter 4? He told Abraham. He said, call those things that be not as though they were.
Yeah. That's right.
Wait, you've read your New Testament, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right.
What was the blessing of Abraham? He said, Abraham, I put faith in your mouth.
Yeah.
He said, everything that you don't see, start calling it as though it is.
Good.
You don't have a child, you know?
Yeah.
I changed your name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of nations,
that's right.
When he had no sons.
That's right.
Can't be a father of nations if you don't have any kids. Okay? And I know and Abraham became 100 years old. Sarah was 90. And God said, just keep calling those things that be not as though they were.
Yeah.
What were the things that were not? No son.
Yeah.
No son of promise.
That's right.
They had tried their own way, had Ishmael, and that was not the plan of the Lord. And so the Bible says that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What
That's
was he saying? He's saying, I'm the father of nations.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a son.
That's right.
I have a son in the name of my, he didn't have the name of Jesus like we do, but we can say that. In the name of Jesus,
right.
I call that job.
Yeah.
I call myself employed.
Amen.
I call this bill paid.
That's right.
I call this need met. I call this body healed.
Yeah. Good. That's right. Amen.
Well, I just don't believe that. Okay, Romans 4:17. Can you help us out? Oh, hey, it's been 2 weeks. I got weeks of material building up here. As it is written, God speaking to Abraham, I have made thee a father of nations. He said, I've made you something that you can't even see yet. He had no child. He had no Isaac. When this was said, he said, I made you something. It wasn't a reality in your mind, but it was in mine.
There you go.
Do you realize that there is another reality in the mind of God right now for you? That reality isn't always going to be broke. It isn't always going to be sick.
Right.
It isn't always going to be depressed and broken down.
Right.
Here is Abraham's looking around. He's like, I got nothing. I'm 100 years old. God said, really? That's funny because I call you the father of nations.
Yeah.
And then Abraham said, you know what? I'm going to start calling me that.
Yeah, there it is. There
he
it
said,
is.
Finally, he starts saying, I'm going to call myself that.
Yes.
As it is written, I made thee a father of nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, this is what God does, and this is what he told Abraham to do, who quickens the dead.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he had to do for Sarah?
Oh, yeah.
Her womb was dead. He makes those things dead, he makes them alive.
That's right.
Your marriage can live again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your finances can live again.
Yeah. Amen.
Those that will call those things that be not. Maybe you don't have a good marriage, but you can start calling one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Maybe you don't have a good job. You can start calling one.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have all your needs met. You can start calling them.
That's right. Yeah.
This is what the word says that God gave to Abraham. And we are blessed with him.
Yeah.
If he can do it, I can too.
That's right.
See, people they just see Abraham. They don't see themselves. See, I see myself.
Yeah, that's it.
God didn't want me to just learn the history of the Bible.
Yeah.
He wanted me to live it. Right? Even God, who quickens the dead, calls those things which be not as though they were.
That's right.
You know, that almost looks like lying. You know what I mean? People of the world are going to accuse you. You're nuts. I got symptoms in your body. You know, there could be pain in your body somewhere, and you're saying, no, I'm the healed of the Lord.
Right.
No, that's not right. You got pain. You told me. No, I'm the healed of the Lord. Well, no, that's a lie because you have this and the doctors told you that. No, I'm the healed of the Lord. I can call those things that be not naturally as though they were. Call your house paid off. Call this building paid off. We're more than halfway there. Call that Erie building paid off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, this is the first part of the nature of the blessing. You have his ear. He's waiting for you, his word to return.
That's right.
You have it. It's time for it to start returning in God's ear. All right, go back to Genesis 12:2. Going to move this along now. Oh, it's not even 8 o'clock yet. My goodness. You know we take a little extra time. You know, but I'll tell you what, God's people need to soak in his word. Yeah. All right. He says, I will bless thee. So now that, boy, that really draws out a lot of meaning, because you just look at, I'll bless thee. Okay, what does that mean? Well, now you know. He's given you his attention, his focus, his ear. He's waiting for your words. Now, the second thing, the second part of this blessing, he says, and I will make thy name great. I like this. Are you ready? I dug into the Hebrew, just like you can at home, and I looked at that phrase where it says, I will make thy name great. And it means literally to build your name like a tower. I like it. Meaning to your name will go higher and higher, to raise and lift up. Or just simply you could say this, to bring attention to your name. Oh, my goodness. How does this benefit us in life? Think about all the times when you need favor.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Think of all the times when you need favor. Favor in the interview, right? Favor in the job you already have. Favor for promotion, right? Favor, maybe you're bidding on a home and there's other people bidding on it.
Sure.
Think of all the places. Favor with the bank. Favor with the judge. Favor in all of these aspects of life. Think about that. He will cause your name to float to the top.
Amen.
I like that. Now, it doesn't mean God's going to make you famous. You know what I mean? By the world's definition. It means in those times when your name needs to grab attention, God's blessing is going to draw it.
Amen. That's good.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, I'm excited about that.
Amen.
Man, that excites you.
Yes.
Listen. How does that help a local church? Yeah, think about it. God will make our name great, right? Not that we're trying to compete with other churches, but you understand. You know, what's going to happen? We move into Erie out there. God's going to cause the name to be great.
Yes.
Why? Because now that blessing is for every local church.
Right.
Every local church. But I can't claim that all know that, but we know it.
We know it.
I'm just saying that. I'm not saying that to compete. You understand what, you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, sure.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, you can think of all the aspects of your life where you need your name to be great. You need your name to float to the top. You need it to gain attention or whatever. Hallelujah. He says, I will make thy name great. I will make it noticed. I will give it favor. Come on now. Think about where you can use that. That is the blessing that we're under now. Now. Praise God. You know, I think about times in my life where God did that for me. You know, times where I remember when I was applying for my teaching job. And at that time, my wife and I, we had nothing, you know, and we really needed that. And I was going up against hundreds of applicants. And I did not have the most education. I did not have any in with anybody there. There was people that already worked in the school district that could just move right into that position. But I got called in for an interview. And then they called me back in to teach a lesson, and I sat there with the principal. He gave me the job. You know, I was not the most qualified. You know, I didn't have the best degree. You know, there's people, their masters at that point. I didn't have mine at that time. And, you know, I just went against a lot of more qualified people. And they gave me the job, and I had an opportunity. I've told this story. But I sat down with the principal, and he was retiring that year. And I said, you know, I just got to ask one question before you go. I said, what was it that made you choose me? I said, I knew some of the people I was up against, and they would just dominate me on, you know, in the classroom and on the resume. You know what I mean? I said, what made you choose me? And he said, you know what? He said, I don't know why. He said, I just knew that I was supposed to.
Yeah. There
what was that? God was making my name great. You know, listen, I'll tell you what, maybe you don't have the greatest resume in this life. Maybe this world says, well, you know, you're uneducated, you don't have this, so therefore you can't expect a good life. Well, listen, every bit of that just got trumped right there. Hallelujah. Not saying that it, believe me, don't think that I'm telling you, well, I don't have to get an education now. I was going to go to college, but I heard Pastor Tim preaching, and so I'm not going to go get an education. No, you'd be led for yourself. But I'm just saying that there's people sometimes in life where they feel like they're underqualified. And I'll tell you what, you might not have any qualifications for anything, but I tell you what, you just became qualified because the blessing of Abraham. You know? I mean, it's amazing how God will just put favor for you in the heart of somebody else. He will just do that. Oh, my goodness. I could talk about, you know what? And the awesome thing about favor is it goes out ahead of you. It goes out ahead of you. It goes out ahead of you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We had a lot of favor. You know, as we negotiated the deal for this building in Erie, that was favor. Do you realize when this building was being built that the contractor, like we dug the foundations, put the concrete in the ground, and we had no financing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that now. Listen, I can't even tell you all the times when it has looked like this ministry was up against nothing. Listen, we had the footers were in the ground. The concrete was in the ground. It took 500 dump truck loads to excavate this property. Just carrying the dirt off this land, and that's how we made that parking lot out there. Because
right.
That, you remember, if you were here before, that was a ravine.
That's right.
We filled it with 500 dump truck loads and made a parking lot out of it. And we had zero money. Zero. And we, you know, here's what we were building.
Yeah.
And the bank had not committed yet. You know, so we're standing there. And the contractor comes to me, you know, and I told him the situation. Of course, work was continuing. You know, it was happening. You know, they were still digging, pouring concrete and all this stuff. And, you know, we're just kind of there. And he just looks at me and says, well, we're just going to keep working. We're just going to keep working. He said, I know that this is the plan of God for this building. He said, and so I just know in my heart God's going to show up, provide the funds. So we'll just put our own money up.
There you go.
When's the last time a contractor built you something on their money?
That's right. Come on. There you go.
And you know that it was over $500,000 that they risked to build it. They put their entire company and all their employees, which we have a few here, I should be saying this. Or maybe we have one or two, I don't know. You know, but he said, yeah, look, we just looked at each other and we just said, God's going to do this.
Yes.
God's going to do it. God's going to do it. So $500,000, you know, and then the day came when I sat down with our contractor at breakfast. We had met for breakfast. And I just, you know, we're just sitting there. And I made sure he's about halfway through. You know, he's got his pancakes going and everything. And I just push over the check. And he, you know, wipes his mouth off. Oh, what you got there? Is this a payment or something? He picks it up. He's like, whoa.
Yes.
Paid off.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And, of course, now we're 5 years into this building. And it's more than half, you know, it's about 55% there.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God is good.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do when you come up to nothing? You're going to say, I'm blessed with faithful Abraham. You're going to call those things that be not. Hallelujah. You're going to realize God has put favor for you in the heart of somebody else. I mean, God put so much favor in their hearts. I mean, who would do that? I mean, and they're godly people that run that company. Wonderful people. Here I am, you know. Advertisement, J. Eckert Construction. But seriously, I mean, honestly, now, of course, they do work for all the family churches and stuff like that, and I would never build another building without them. I mean, that favor, that relationship, God is going to put that in somebody's heart before you even get there. Glory to God. Here's the third thing, and let's finish this up right here. So now, he says, I'm going to salute you and be at attention and ready for your words. I'm going to cause your name to rise like a tower.
Yeah.
I like that. And you shall be a blessing. Well, I studied that out. And literally the term you will be a blessing means literally you will be a source of prosperity.
Yeah.
You can look it up in the Hebrew dictionary yourself. I'm not making this up. You will be a blessing. It means you will be a source of prosperity and a treaty of peace.
That's good.
I like that. Have you ever noticed that in your family that you're the peacemaker? No, I mean in your extended family. You know, sometimes in those ranks where you're not always the most popular. But when junk hits the fan in their life, who they look to? Who do they do? They look to you because they saw a treaty of peace on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You know, and maybe I've seen so many Christians that have had families or extended families, you know, that for years have just dogged them and dogged them. But because you stayed faithful to God, there came a day where they came to you and they said, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, forgive me for these years of how I've treated you. I know that you're really just serving God. You've seen that. Yeah. Yep. And where that comes from is that. He's made you a treaty of peace. Glory to God. And a source of prosperity. Let me say that again. You are a source of prosperity wherever you are. The church... And I mean not just this church. I mean the born-again believers. They cannot be so overloaded in their mind. They see themselves as the broke ones. Have we forgotten what Deuteronomy 28 says? I will make you the head, not the tail. Above, not beneath. I will make you the lender, not the borrower. Listen, we're not sitting around waiting to prosper. We are the source of prosperity. Do you understand the only thing that is keeping this nation on her feet right now is the church?
You're right. Oh, yeah.
The only thing keeping the American dollar from collapsing right now is the church?
Yeah.
The only one keeping the Antichrist off the scene right now is the church?
Yeah.
The only thing keeping our enemies off our shores is the church? Why? Because we're a source of prosperity. Why is America have become the most prosperous nation that this world has ever seen? Because it was the only nation in the history of the world that used basically God's biblical principles to write its founding documents.
Yes.
Really the second one, Israel being the first. And as long as Israel obeyed, they prospered, didn't they? They're still prospering to this day. I mean, here they are surrounded by all their enemies just looking to take them out, and they can't. They can't. All those nations over there would love to scrub Israel out, but they can't. And we're a big part of that. The reason why this nation has been so blessed is that we've been the main force keeping watch over them. Yeah. God gave Israel favor with America. You know what I mean? And I know our current administration needs to learn a lesson about that, and I'm not trying to criticize, but what a joke. You know, I'm not saying that about a person individually. I'm just saying, you know, whenever a nation or a political leader turns on Israel, not good. Not good. You know, but we will have another president that will love Israel again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. You will be a blessing. You will be a source of prosperity and a treaty of peace. Think about how blessed your company is when you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you work, God is blessing that company because of you.
Yes.
That's absolutely right. Think about what an opportunity they have. Think about what an opportunity we have. Think about what an opportunity we have to bless one another. You know, think about that.
Yes.
And then, of course, we know verse 3 says, I will bless those that bless them, you know, bless them that bless you. You know, think about that. What an opportunity, yeah. So, in one regard, don't ever shy away from someone that wants to give you something nice. You're stealing their blessing. There's been people that have come up to me, with a gift or something, and you know, the natural, or they take you to dinner or whatever, and the natural pride, that's what it is to say, oh, no, don't do that, don't do that. Now listen, if you can't receive, you're robbing them from a blessing. Now, that is not an excuse to get selfish. But when God puts it in somebody's heart to bless you, that's because he's not trying to get something to you only. He's trying to get something over to them as well. He will bless them that bless you. And since I know the blessing of God is on you, and more specifically, the blessing of God is on my wife, what a great place to sow.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'm serious. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You bless a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
You bless God's anointed. I'm not talking about the ministers. I'm talking about people that love Jesus. Can you bring up a scripture for me? Just so I can show you this in the New Testament. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Testing me now. Galatians 6:10. Let's see. Do we have a winner? Yes, we do. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially, everyone say especially, unto them who are of the household of faith. You ever wonder where, you know, your blessing is to go? Look around at these people. Especially for the household of faith. Why? Because the blessing of Abraham's on them. And God's going to bless you for blessing them. You know, I tell you what, believers need to be more cognizant, be more aware of the leading of God to bless people. I was sitting in a restaurant just the other day, and I was there with Pastor Jeff, the sheep stealer. I'm kidding. And we were at you, for those of you that, you know, we have that kind of relationship, okay? I pick on him, and he doesn't dare pick on me. Oh, praise the Lord. So anyhow, we were sitting there at a restaurant. We were at one of those restaurants. It was one of those Japanese restaurants, you know, where they go, what up, you know, the hibachi grill. And they're flipping their knife, and I'm getting nervous. He's twirling that knife a little close. Woo, 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 woo. Thing's spinning on his finger, and I'm sitting right in there. Woo, 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 woo. You know? And anyway, we were there kind of later, so there was hardly anybody in the restaurant. But in comes this this mom and her little girl, and they walked in, and they just sat. And, of course, you know, at those restaurants, you don't really have a private table. You all sit around the hibachi grill, and they order food, and they're just a seat or two away from you. And, you know, and so we struck up a conversation with this mother and her little daughter and stuff. And just as, you know, we were getting ready to finish up the meal, I mean, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you pay for her meal. And you do it, not as a pastor, not as an advertisement for Family Church. I made sure she did not know that I was a pastor. She did not know that I was from the church. Now, if she would have asked, I would have told her. But just to be a blessing.
Yes.
Why? Because that is on me.
Yes. Good.
It is on us to be a blessing everywhere we go. Yes. This is why Christians need to prosper the way the Bible says we should.
Yes.
Because when we prosper, we can just do things like that.
Yes. There you go.
You ever been in a grocery line? And, you know, the person coming behind you, you look, and maybe it's a single mom with a bunch of little kids or something. Scan their stuff. Oh, yeah, here, pay for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what, about melted her to tears over some, you know, Japanese chicken and steak. You know, $15 or whatever it was. I mean, such a small thing to do. And I'm not doing that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that to be an example of that every little opportunity we like that, you know, we have to do that. It says, as we have opportunity. Now, of course, you can't go out and buy everyone's meal everywhere. You'll go broke quick. I'm talking about being led when God speaks to you. Hey, here's that. And I'm not talking about taking the minister out to lunch. I'm saying, what about an unbeliever sitting there? Maybe it'll open a door to witness, you know? I mean, look for opportunities to do that. It's amazing to me how a person's heart will be so softened by just the smallest of gifts. The smallest thing, you know? And I mean, when's the last time you were in a drive-thru and you said, you know, hey, I want to pay for the car behind me too, you know? And I don't mean as an advertisement. I mean, why? Because what are you doing? You're putting faith in the blessing that you're under.
Yeah.
Listen, a faith without corresponding action is dead. You can't believe that you're a blessing until you start acting like one. I'm put on this earth. Listen, every bit that I spend in that direction, it just has to come back multiplied.
Yeah. Amen.
You cannot get to the bottom of God's pockets when it comes to that stuff. You can't. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, in closing, oh man, I'm well over the 8 o'clock mark, and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care, right? Can you bring up real quick John 8:39? Now, here's the key if you want to walk in the blessing of Abraham. Remember, Jesus was having this little back and forth here with the Pharisees, and he had called himself God, and that really upset them. And they answered him. Remember, because Jesus had said, you know, God is my Father, and that they wanted to kill him for saying that. And they answered him and said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You know, that's true for us. If you are the children of Abraham, you will do what Abraham did. You will do what he did. What did Abraham do? Was Abraham, was he ever late for his appointment with God? No. Everywhere he went, he built an altar to the God of Israel, right? Yes. You remember, was he a giver? Oh, yeah. Have you ever read Genesis 18?
Yes.
How when three men showed up, which was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost,
right.
You know, actually, well, hold on. They represented that. It was actually, if you get into it, it was Jesus and two angels. But anyhow, we can leave that theological debate for later. And so here there was three men, and they were in the form of flesh so they could eat and speak and everything. Remember they visited? And Abraham said, go get the fatted calf.
Yes.
And he cooked 600 measures of grain and all this stuff. If you study that out, that was a meal that could have fed over 400 men. Is that a giver?
That's a giver.
That's a giver. When you go, he went and got the best out of his herds. He said, bring that expensive animal. It was a very expensive animal.
Yes.
And, of course, what three men do you know that could eat a whole cow? Well, there might be a few of us that could get pretty close. I'm not looking at you for that reason. You know, we might be able to get close, you know, in here, but I mean, he sat a whole cow in front of three guys.
That's right.
Did they finish all of it? Of course not. But was he a giver? Yep.
Yes.
If you're going to walk in the blessing of Abraham, you better have the corresponding action.
That's
right. If you believe you're a blessing, then start being one.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. Did you get something out of this?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, let's get ready to pray and take up tonight's offering. Father, we just praise you and glorify you. Yep. I hear this in my spirit. We're not going to just, you know, hurry up and close the service. We're going to wait on God. Sometimes we make the mistake of just hurrying up and doing the routine.